we want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Good Monday morning, Brevard County. We pray that you are planning on having a great week and that you had an awesome weekend. And we are very excited about what God is doing. We'll be bringing you a report probably tomorrow about the results of our missions faith promises last night. And you know, last year our goal was $70,000, and you know, through direct giving we missed it. Through indirect giving we made it, we accomplished it. And so we'll share with you where we are this year, and we'll bring that to you on probably tomorrow's broadcast. Hopefully the bookkeeper will be able to get all of the numbers calculated and tabulated in time for that. So, and then we almost always have some people who bring in pledge or faith promise cards after the fact. And so we just like to keep you updated on the good things that God is doing at Merritt Assembly of God. Again, we want to say thank you to Creative AC Solutions, 759-3284, 759-3284. Bill Andreich, if you're here in the central part of the county, he can help get you fixed up as far as your air conditioning. You want to make sure that that's working sufficiently when you are getting ready to go into the hotter months here. We're just a few days away from daylight savings time kicking in, and that means longer daylight hours. That's a good thing. It might mean higher electric bills, although I did see recently where their rates are going to be dropping, and so hopefully your electric bills will be going down. But if you need a new unit to help increase your efficiency level, we did that several years ago, and it lowered our bills. Bill Andreich helped us with that. At the other, you know, a few weeks ago when he was working on our system, I'll just be honest with you, he started talking about the units and, you know, things, a situation that he had been working on, and he described it, and he used some words that I was familiar with. But I'll be honest with you, as far as the technical application inside of an air conditioner, I had no clue. I had an idea of kind of what he was describing, but couldn't have told you the technical aspect of it. And I just stood there and shook my head. But I want you to know they are very, very good at taking care of these needs. And so if you need any help here in the central Brevard County area, Creative AC Solutions, 759-3284, will help you out. Now, we are resuming our vintage service this coming week. We took a couple of weeks off while my wife and I were away. We are now back, and we will be resuming that. Our last vintage service that we had before vacation, February 3rd, we had the Stevens family singers in there. It was I was a little concerned because we don't have a big crowd at our vintage service anyway. Our largest crowd had been, I think, 18 up until that point in time. And we had some people having some medical tests that are there, and some other people were away celebrating their a mother's 100th birthday. And then I had some other people having some medical tests, and I was really concerned about how many, because sometimes we only have 9 or 10 that show up for that service. But we had 19. And I said, oh, so I understand now, because normally I lead the worship during the vintage service. And I said, so you all were just waiting to come until there were professional singers who were here to lead praise and worship that day, and everybody got a kick out of that. But the Stevens family was there. We had about 19, including them. And so if you would like to come out and join us, be a part of that, our youth and children's ministry is up and running. And so we, even though we are not a large church numerically, we do provide as much ministry as we possibly can. And so it doesn't matter whether you're young or old or anywhere in between. We are a church that wants to love you. And, you know, our kids, we taught our boys, my wife had taught the girls, they're teaching them to treat their bodies like the temple of the Holy Spirit. And that's in a moral sense, but also in a physical sense. And so they were out, they took them on a field trip here a couple of weeks ago to go and begin to shop for healthy food. And then the boys, we had an opportunity, a situation arose. One of our ladies in the church had a flat tire right before church on a Wednesday night. And so we took the boys and we taught them how to change a tire. Everybody ought to know how to change a flat tire. And so we did that and taught them how to do it safely and correctly. And so we're teaching them how to grow in their relationship. The Bible lesson that night for the boys before we did that was on ministering to the Lord. We had a wonderful time of praise and worship, probably the best time of praise and worship that we had had in one of our kids' services in a long time. That was right before we went on vacation. And so that will be 6 o'clock is when we start serving food. Kids' ministry starts at 6:30 and classes end about 7:45. So that's where we are. We encourage you to come be a part of that. Let's get into the word today, shall we? We are talking about creating a culture of vision. Vision says there is something better that God has for me than what I am currently experiencing. There is a higher purpose that he has for me. And sometimes that purpose, that vision, may not make a whole lot of sense. Philip was preaching in a city and there was a revival, and all of a sudden God snatched him and took him out into the wilderness, and out on this desert road, he saw a chariot that was going down. And so it's one of my favorite stories in the Bible because of the vividness of my memory. And so he sees this chariot being pulled by horses going down this desert road, and so Philip just starts running alongside of it, and he's running alongside, hey, what you reading in there? And you know, nothing really says that God spoke to him about going over and doing that. And the guy was reading the word of God, and he had some questions, and it continues to describe that they're progressing. The journey is still going on. The chariot is still traveling, and Philip is still running. And finally, the guy slows down, and Philip explains the scriptures to him. Why would God have Philip leave a very successful revival, go into the wilderness where he ministers to one Ethiopian eunuch? Well, it was because God wanted to birth a church in Ethiopia. And when they sent missionaries to take the gospel to Ethiopia later, they found that a church was already in existence there. Why? Because God had a vision, and he had a man who said yes to that vision. And then after that, they parted ways. They didn't see one another again. Philip goes on about his ministry. The government official goes back to Ethiopia, and God accomplished what he wanted to accomplish through that encounter. So let's get back into Hebrews chapter 11. We started in verse 13 on Friday. It says this: these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For those who say such things declare plainly that they seek a homeland, and truly, if they had called to mind that country from which they had come out, they would have had opportunity to return. But now they desire a better that is a heavenly country. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. And again, this is talking about Abraham creating a culture of vision in his household, vision beyond his present day reality. And so on Friday, we ended with confession. It says that they confessed. Now, this is what they confessed. This is the subject of their confession, that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. And those words mean that stranger means a foreign guest, and pilgrim is one who resides in a foreign country. We are in the New Testament are called ambassadors for Christ. Back when I was in a teenager, we had our youth group throughout the Assemblies of God was called Christ Ambassadors, and there was a song, "We Are Christ's Ambassadors," and we sang that on a pretty regular basis. But it wasn't until much later that I realized that an ambassador was a representative from one government that dwelt in a foreign land who did his king's business in that foreign land. And when he spoke as the king's representative in that foreign business or foreign country. And so I want you to know today that you are an ambassador for Jesus Christ. You too, like Abraham, you and I should look like that this is not our native land. Even though we may be born in America, our spirit has been born again, and we are heavenly citizens. We are citizens of heaven. And you need to, one day maybe we'll do a study on what a citizen of heaven looks like, what is right and what is, because everybody talks about rights. I want to talk to you about responsibilities. And so, but you have to begin with that understanding. If we have an incorrect mental framework, then we will speak and act as if differently. If we forget that we are representing someone else as an ambassador, that we are residing in a place that God wants to impact for his kingdom. You see, that is the thing about God's kingdom. He said, "I will build my church. I will build my church." And that around the throne room in heaven, there are going to be people from every tribe, every tongue, every nation. How is that possible? It is possible because God gives people vision the same way that he gave to Abraham, and say, you know what? I'm willing to live as a foreign guest in a country, and I am willing to reside in that place and serve as an ambassador for Jesus Christ, where I will serve those people. I will speak and act and think like a representative of the king. What would my king do? You know, the people who work for me, I want them, this is the mindset that I want them to have. What would Pastor Bob do in this situation? What would Pastor Bob do in this situation? Because I know this, I'm not going to act in a manner that's going to injure anybody. And so I don't want my staff acting in a manner in which anybody's going to be injured. And so now how do I act? I ask this question: what would Jesus want me to do in this situation? What would Jesus want me to do in this situation? And I want to tell you, I truly want to say thank you for this. I want to thank you for all of the people who've come up and said, you know what, we listened to your broadcast. And a lot of, I mean, I've had people that have shared that with me in doctor's offices. I've had people share that with me in Walmart. I've had people that I just encountered, in just day-to-day operations. Hey, I listened to your program. And every time that they say that, it's not that I view that from a celebrity standpoint, because I do not consider myself that in any form or fashion. If I'm your celebrity, you are living in a very small world. I want Jesus to get all of the glory. But every time somebody comes up to that, I stop and I have a little bit of moment of self-reflection and saying and ask this question: am I reflecting Jesus? Because that's what I truly want to be on the radio, in the pulpit, in my church administration, in the life that I lead, in my neighborhood. I want to be known as an ambassador for Jesus Christ. So make sure that what you're confessing is, look, this world is not my home. I'm not talking about some weird alien stuff. I am talking about, I am a born again child of God. I have a future that involves being in heaven with Jesus forever. And that is what that's what affects and mandates the life that I live. Okay? It says this: for those who say such things declare plainly that they seek a homeland. So it says that they were confessing that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth, and that those who say things are making a declaration of what they are seeking, and that is they are seeking a homeland. Another translation says, well, it talks about that seeking. It's an intense seeking for, or a demand, or a crave. There is something. If your body is lacking something nutritionally, it will begin to demand that. It says, I cannot function without this. I'm not talking about people who are making bridezilla-type demands or you know, diva-type demands. I'm talking about your body says, I can't live without this. That's the type of seeking that we are talking about. Now, I do a lot of speaking, which involves a lot of preparation, which involves a lot of paperwork on top of the administration responsibilities that I have and the articles that I have. My mother-in-law sent me an article to read before we went on vacation, and I opened it, and it's like, I was getting ready to see her. It's like she could have just handed, but it's on my desk. I've got people who've given me things that are, and all of that stuff begins to pile up. And so if you want to see my office administrator, if you want to see her go into a little bit of a panic mode, all you got to do is tell her this: I heard Pastor Bob was getting ready to clean off his desk because a lot of the stuff that I clean off my desk ends up getting filed in a trash can. But sometimes there are things that are on my desk that actually need to be in her office where she can organize them. And that means that the next time she comes in, she's going to find not only the work that she had to do, but things that that she's got to file away. It's not that bad. It's really a big joke most of the time. Ha ha. But anyway, whenever I've got something that I'm looking for, all of a sudden, all bets are off. I have got to find this. It is not a matter of I hope I find this. I have got to find this. And so every piece of paper gets touched, and I know where it was, and I know it was over here, and where could it be? And so when I came in to do this broadcast, I knew where my notes had been, but I couldn't find them. And I knew that they had been in my Bible, and I couldn't find them there. This is a really great, it's an incredible Bible. But I've noticed that when I'm sitting here at the desk that I lean heavily on one side of the Bible, and because I've been doing a lot of speaking from the New Testament, and the backing has become a little bit loosened from the back of the Bible. And so I was looking for my notes, and I'd looked through all of the papers on my desk. I looked in the church where my Bible has been, and I couldn't find the notes. And finally, I found them at the very, very back. I'd stuck them for safekeeping. Don't you just love it when you put something away for safekeeping, and then you don't remember where the spot of safekeeping was? And so, but there was an intense longing. There have been times when we were in such desperate need of $5 that there had been $5 that had come in a birthday card or something like that. And we would end up going out and dive in the dumpster back when we lived at the church, and because we said, we've got to find that money. We need that money. We've got to find it. And so you and I, as ambassadors, as children of God, we should be having an intense desire and craving. Our spirits should be demanding to see more of, more of the homeland. We're seeking a homeland. If you, I remember hearing Dr. Cho out of South Korea, and he was talking about how in that culture, for a woman, the things that speak security more than anything else is owning a home, not renting a home, but owning a home. And God spoke to them about making a real impact on their society. And one of the ways to do that was he was to move into an apartment complex, because there were people there who were living on the upper floors, and they just needed people to help them carry their groceries up. And so they went to their church leadership, and many of them sold their homes. And he said he remembered going to his wife and with some hesitancy and saying, "Honey, we need to sell our home, and we need to move into this apartment complex." And knowing that was going to create a bit of insecurity, he said, "But we're going to see souls as a result of that." And because they had a desire for heaven and desire to see Jesus come into people's hearts, she was willing to do that. And that church just exploded into hundreds of thousands of people who attend. I don't even know how many different church services they have over a weekend basis. They have a mountain that people will go and spend 24 hours in prayer. They're just seeking God. You see, folks, we in America, we settle for an encounter when we should be seeking and abiding. We seek a visitation when we should be longing for a habitation. And, that's what we are hoping to create. Later this week, we're going to be entering a season of 30 days of prayer leading up to Easter. Easter's on March 27th, and so on February the 26th, we're going to be launching a 30 days of prayer just to prepare, just to see God's kingdom come in resurrection power, not just in the history books, but in our communities. See, he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And we need the abiding presence of the Holy Spirit and our Heavenly Father. Now, that word country there, it's an interesting land. Or an interesting word. It's translated homeland. Here in another translation, it's translated country. But the Greek word there is patris, P-A-T-R-I-S. It literally means fatherland. It literally means fatherland. It's where we get the word patriarch. And so let me take you to what it says, and confess that they were strangers and pilgrims on this earth, for those who say such things declare plainly that they seek, if I can, a fatherland. And while we were away, I got to visit my father. And, earthly fathers hold a special place. One of the reasons why we were so excited about the Butlers coming is we recognize that there are a lot of young men who are in our communities right now, and they may not have a godly role model. They may not have a person who represents the Heavenly Father in their life. And as much as I want to do that, and the men of our church, there needs to be somebody there. I want you to know that you are created with a need. You don't just need to live in a better region. You don't just need to live in a better neighborhood. There is a void inside of every human being. And it is a desire. It is longing. It cannot be filled up with food. It cannot be filled up with alcohol, with drugs, with sex. It cannot be filled up with work or money or intellectual acclaim or fame or celebrity. The only thing that will satisfy that intense longing that you have is the Heavenly Father. So in order for me to see my Father, I had to travel to where my Father lived. And today, right now, this vision that I'm wanting us to create is a longing for the Heavenly Father. You see, Jesus said this was his method of ministry. I only do the things I see my Father doing, and I only speak the things I hear my Father saying. The Father dwells in me, and I dwell in him. You see, Jesus had said this, I delight to do your will. I have come to do your will. I desire to do your will. That's the type of longing that you and I should have, that we are looking for the Father to dwell in our very midst. I want to ask you today, how would that reflect in your life? How does it reflect in your life? Does it reflect, you see, if that's what you're wanting to see, if you're looking for the abiding presence of the Father, not just in your own life, but in your family's life and in the life of others, it will manifest in your priorities. It will manifest in the activities that you do. It will manifest in the amount of time you spend in His Word. It will manifest in the amount of time that you pray. If it's an intense longing, a demand, it's something that your spirit is craving. It says, I can't live without the presence of the Father in my life. If that's what it's going, it will reflect, that desire, that craving will reflect in your, what you do with your finances. It will reflect on in every area of your life. You see, I tell people this at Father's Day, you know, at Mother's Day, women are measured by the Proverbs 31 woman. And that's a very high standard. I mean, that she's an incredible woman. But at Father's Day, everybody measures fathers by the Heavenly Father. And sometimes people get that reversed and they think that the Heavenly Father is defective because they had a bad role model as a father here on earth. If that's you, I want to close out today, let you know you have a perfect Heavenly Father, one who loves you perfectly. Father, I pray today that you would give us a vision where we would long for the Father's presence in our life, his wise, loving, and caring presence. In Jesus' name, God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
Lord, I wish I could praise you with adequate words, but you leave me speechless. And I so long to sing you the song you deserve, but it would be endless. I long to move your heart, bring you something new, tell how great you are, tell my praise to you. It's like an